So good morning. Happy New Year. So as Rusty told you guys, I'm a teacher in the fourth and fifth grade Revolution Ministry. If you've been my fourth graders out there, fifth graders out there, I told you I'd be here today. And it looks like they canceled service for you guys, so you guys get to watch me. One of the things, first thing I want you guys to know is that your kids are in good hands in the children's ministry here. There are some very, very talented people there that I get the chance to go and learn from. I also want you to know that I want to tell you something that I tell all of your kids, you know, that God's not afraid of their questions. In my life, as I've gone through this walk with God, I had times in my life where I wouldn't ask God hard questions because my spirituality, I was afraid, would just run into a wall and I would just wouldn't be able to find my way through. And when I found those hard questions, I would kind of ricochet off and go off into the abyss and God would have to call me back in. So what I've learned, the lesson that I have learned is that it's okay to ask hard questions of God. And sometimes God can answer my questions very quickly, and generally he does. That may sound odd to you guys, but generally the answers come back very quickly for me. But when the answers don't come back very quickly for me, it's an opportunity I've learned from God to learn and learn something new or experience something new. But God eventually gets ready to answer my questions. I brought my Bible here today. I won't show it to you, but if it's an old beat up book, and if you were to go out there, you'll find places where I've got question marks all through my Bible, where I write questions. And then all of a sudden I'm reading later and I find, I know the answer to this now. So it's wonderful to me. It's precious to me. It's a precious old beat up book for me. Rusty told you guys I've been married for 43 years. And one of the things that I have learned, I finished my 101 class in marriage at about the 30-year mark. I'm a hard-headed kind of guy. And I won't tell you my grade, but I passed, you know. But one of the things that I learned in that 101 class is Lydia is an acts of service lover. And what I mean by that, she most feels my love when I'm in service to her. And so God presents opportunities for me to be in service for her, and I'm always looking for those things. And that's what kind of started the story that Rusty is talking about. I ended up at a day at the post office, you know, where I'm on one of those active services for Lydia. And I walk up to the counter, and when I get up to the counter, I tell the guy behind the counter, hey, I've got a little bit of a mess here. I need to mail these envelopes all over the country, you know, and there are 47 of them, and I've got stamps on each one of them, but I'm not sure if I've got enough postage on these. And so he picks up one of them, and, you know, the first thing he says, well, this isn't a letter. This is a package. It's a package because it's not flat, you know? So this is going to ship like a package. And he throws it on the scale, and he looks at it on the scale. And once he's on the scale, he says, well, this one's going to Wilmington, North Carolina, and you've got two stamps on it, so you need another $3.24 to mail this. And he looks at me. He looks up at the box that I've got laying on its side, and he thumbs through. How many of them you got in there? I've got about 47 of them. He says, well, you know, what do you want to do? Well, like I said, I finished my 101 class, and what you learn in the 101 class is when the wife gives you a task, you don't come back with the task undone, right? So I looked at him, I said, well, I've got to ship him. He kind of raises his eyebrows and kind of starts going. So after he had done about three envelopes, he asked me, he says, so, John, he doesn't know my name, but he says, so what are these? I said, these are the games that are going to be played at a virtual baby shower. My wife and I are expecting our first grandchild. We've been waiting 11 years for this, as I tell him. I says, and my wife is out of her mind. She wants her daughter-in-law to know that even though this is a virtual baby shower, it doesn't mean it has to have any less of her effort. So she has carved a giraffe this big out of styrofoam and painted it. She's got, you know, elephants and everything else. All these things that she's invested hours into. And this is only going to be a 4-hour baby shower, but she's been working on this for 2 weeks. And these are the games that are going to get mailed to everybody across the country. And he says, so how long have you been married? So I've been married 43 years. And he says, ah, that's amazing. What's the secret? And I looked up and I said, secret is you got to learn to hit the reset button. The reset button? What's the reset button? I said, the reset button is everything goes back to zero. I said, if you have a marriage, you know, it goes, all marriages go through ups and downs and ups and downs. And every time you're in a down, if you have to explore all the other downs on the way to this one, it's frustrating. You never really move forward. You're still always resolving the past. And so you've got to learn to hit the reset button. And he said, huh, it's interesting. I said, would you hold up a minute? He holds up his hand, and he hits his phone, and he does something. And I think he's got a text message, and he says something, you know, under the phone. And he sticks his head around the corner, and he says, I'm so glad you stopped by this morning. He said, my fiance and I last night had a discussion, and we decided that it was time to call it quits. And so what I've just done is I've just translated everything you said. Would you continue? And I said, sure. I said, you know, for me in my marriage, I have some rules for the reset button. One of them is the 666 rule. If I'm going to be mad, if I'm not going to be mad at something in 6 months, then I'm not going to spend 6 weeks, 6 days, or 6 hours about it being mad now. Does that make sense? You know, if I'm going to let it go, why invest 6 months over getting to letting it go? I'm just going to let it go now. And I said, so that's one of the ways I hit the reset button. And he's talking and translating as we go on. And I look up at him and I said, are you a spiritual man? And he goes, I am. And I said, huh, interesting. I said, and that started a 45-minute task at a post office. So I thought we'd talk a little bit this morning about the reset button. Do you know that God's been hitting the reset button since the very beginning? You stop and look at it. You know, if you go back and you look at Genesis, you know, and you see the book of Genesis, you see a scripture where God says, God walked with Adam in the cool of the morning. And I look at that in my walk, and I put myself into scripture. I think a lot of times we read scripture, we read it as an interesting story, and we say, oh yeah, we understand that, and we understand it intellectually, but we don't put ourselves into the scripture. And so when I look at that scripture, I go, ah, oh God, what would that have been like to wake up in the morning? And God said, John, how you doing this morning? Oh God, it was a great morning. I cuddled up with Lydia last night, and I woke up this morning, I'm all rested. Hey, God, did you see that sunrise this morning? And God looking back at me going, yeah, I did. I created that just for you. That's the level of intimacy. That's the relationship that God wanted with us. Then we have the fall. Okay? We all know the story. Adam and Eve, and they committed sin. And God says, you got to leave the garden. You know, can you imagine what Adam and Eve must have felt like? They've got this kind of intimacy, face to face with God, walking with God in the cool of the morning, and now they're out of the garden. Wow. You know? But the beautiful thing is, God went with them into the next phase, into this new normal. You know, when I stop and I think about that, I get up each morning wanting that kind of relationship with God, longing for that kind of relationship with God. And as I look at that reset, I go out and I ended up in a marriage class. I don't know if any of you have ever done this course, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. If you have, you've probably heard this one, but I look out at this concept of the reset button, and as God is reteaching this to me, and as I'm circling it, and as, you know, God takes me back in, and I look at this scripture about David. David's a great character in the Bible, one of God's favorites. And the concept got driven home to me when you read the scripture, in Matthew 1, 6 through 7. And God's going through the lineage of what it takes, all the people, to get to Christ. And you read the scripture in Matthew 1, 6, verse 7. And Jesse, the father of David, was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. And I sit up and I say, that's strange. And I read the scripture all the way through the lineage again, and everybody's got names. And then we get here to this one. By the way, guys, when you want to know if the Bible is true, I circle in on these kinds of scriptures. Anybody know who Uriah's wife was? Bathsheba. I go, Bathsheba, God? Bathsheba? Whoa, God, wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. Wait a minute now. You know, God, David stood in a window and lusted after Bathsheba. Remember, God talks to me. You know, I don't get an answer right back. You know, and he says, hey, God, you know, God, David had an affair with Bathsheba. God, Bathsheba got pregnant. No answer. God, David tried to trick Uriah into believing that the child that Bathsheba was pregnant was his. Did work, and when he couldn't do that, he killed Uriah and brought Bathsheba in his house and married. Yeah. And I'm going, well, God, that would mean then that Bathsheba wasn't supposed to be there. You know, that would mean that Jesus wouldn't be here except for lust, adultery, yeah, deceit, murder. God, you gotta, I don't get that. You know, God, you know, I'm circling. Explain this to me. And as I'm trying to figure this out, I stumble on the scripture that I've read 100 times. I will cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, I said, well, God, I realize, he says, John, I don't remember none of that. I don't choose to remember that. I know David. He loves me. I know Bathsheba. She loves me too. I know they're doing the best that they can. John, I don't remember any of that. And as I sit there in my room looking and thinking about that, I look up and I say, God, I'm a Christian. God, can I have some of that? God's not answering me. You know, God, I looked through a window once too. Yeah. No answer. You know, God, I've done some things that I'm not proud of. God, I don't understand. And the answer comes back, John, I don't remember none of that. And you break down and you think, that's how much God loves me. Then you go into Romans, and you look at Romans, and it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah. And by his grace, through the redemption that came from Christ Jesus. And as I'm circling this scripture, I would think about this scripture as I'm sitting at Lord's Supper in the old church that I used to go to. And I would sit there and I would see this scripture. And I started to ask myself, God, you're God. You're God. You can do anything you want to do. And I understand that Christ has got a balanced sense. I get that. But why this way? Why this way? And as I'm stopping, I'm thinking, and I'm real, do you realize that the beating that Christ took before he went to the cross was life-altering. Christ would have lived in pain. His life would have been totally different just from the beating he took before he was crucified. And as I'm sitting there reconciling this in my mind, God, why this way? Why this way? The Lord said, why this way? And one time I get the answer. John, I wanted it to mean something to you. If it had been easy, it had been an easy death, would it have meant something to you? Would it have meant as much to you? I said, I want you to know how horrible sin is. I really want you to understand it. And that's how horrible sin is. And I didn't want it to be an easy something. I wanted to express it. I wanted you to understand that. And as I'm sitting and I'm thinking through that, I translate that as God did it that way just to grab our attention. Wow. Wow. As I stop and I consider that, the first thing that it brings me to is appreciation. If you've had God hit the reset button in your life, fix things that you can't fix, it gives you an appreciation for how big God is and how much he wants you. Me. My mother was a daughter of a sharecropper. She actually worked the fields. My father was quite a bit older than her. She had me late in life. And what she told, she knew my father wanted a son. So her prayer to God was, and I didn't find this out until my mother was dead and buried 3 years. What she prayed to God was, God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. So I want you guys to know that God's had a marker on my life since the womb. I'm struggling, trying to figure this out one day at a time, just like the rest of you. But my mother took the time to teach me lessons. I can remember the prayers that she prayed with me as a kid, a little beat-up house that we lived in, way south of the tracks. One of the things she would always pray was, Father God, please, please bring my children into a company of good people. I live off the prayers of my mother. One of the things she taught me was, John Kenny, as they call me, my middle name's Kenneth, all the purest gifts of God are meant to be shared. God don't give you something pure and special. They don't expect you to share with someone else. When I consider that, in my marriage, I think about that. God has forgiven me for so very much. And as I circle that in my marriage, I started to come up with lessons. So after that marriage enrichment class that I went to, after that class of Laugh Your Way, I went back to my wife and I said, baby, I've decided something. She goes, what's that? I said, I've decided that I'm going to love you no matter what. She says, but John, I said, no, baby. I am committed. I'm going to love you no matter what. That's it. I'm done. So I'm all in. I'm all in. And after I did that and as I circled it, and God, I mean, I couldn't get this reconciled in my mind and my heart. And as I continued down that path, I looked at how God forgives us, you know, and how he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I came back and I said, babe, I'm not God. But I want to love you in such a way that I give you a little taste of how much God loves you. And God casts sins from east to west, and I can't do that. But I tell you what I can do. If there's something back here in the back that's happened, and I haven't forgotten it, I'm going to stop talking about it. I'm just going to stop talking about it. And I'm not going to hold it against you. And I'd appreciate it if you do the same thing with me. I'm over those things so long ago. Let's go forward. So resetting your marriage is one place that you can hit the reset button. And God is hitting the reset button constantly with me and the things that I'm doing. And as I went on and as I started to look at this, I looked at the scripture where it says, God, we should love our wives as Christ loved the church. For me, loving my wife is an act of worship to God. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's an act of worship to God. Providing for my family is an act of worship to God. Where are some other places we could think about hitting the reset button? You know, far too many of us have grown accustomed to the empty chair at the Thanksgiving table or the friends that we don't talk to as much because of whatever reason. Have you ever read the scripture where it says, teacher, tell us, you know, what's the most important commandments? Teacher, tell us what the most important commandments are. It's love God and love your neighbor. Everything else is based on that. Do you see it? Have relationships. Back in Genesis, back when God first created us, if you ever read the creation story, it's beautiful. You know, God creates the earth, the moon, the stars. He creates, you know, the animals, the sea. And every time he creates them, he says, good, good. Look at the animals, good. Look at the fish in the sea, good. And he creates man. And there's something missing right after he creates man. He doesn't say good. You know what he says? It's not good that man should be alone. We are meant, we are created to be in relationship. That's what that scripture is saying. Too many of us are willing to accept broken relationships in our family and our friends, because we're not willing to hit that reset button. Where's another place? Church. I was a member of a church, and I had a friend, brother, who had the most horrible thing that could happen to one of his children, perpetrated by another member of the church. And the church grew up and picked sides, and most went to the side of the parent. I get that. But God called upon my family to step in the breach and try and restore the leader. The father broke fellowship with my family. I get that. I get that. And then as he, but I kept being encouraged by God, reestablished the relationship. So I would pray. I would send emails. I would send texts. Hope there would be a time that we can sit and chat. Over the course of years, until one day I sent out one of those texts, and God, the man responded, John, if we get together, we're going to start right here. We're going to let everything in the back go. So God's been working on that family, hitting the reset button. I had a chance to meet the leader on the other side who he came to my home just because he was in town. He brought his family. His family was now back together. And as I'm sitting there in my house, in the family room of my house, one of the children started acting up. And I saw him point and say, come here. The child came. He stopped and the child sat down beside him and started to behave. And I thought to myself, God, you're putting that family back together. You're putting this family back together. That's the power. It's a reset button. Oh. As I've gone through my church life at 60, I get to look back at myself in my 30s and my 20s. And I was very black and white about my church. Well, you either do this and you do this, or you're going to hell if you don't do this and you don't do this. And you're wrong and I'm right and I understand. Oh God, I wish I could find all of those people now and come back and say, let's be in relationship. You can't have impact on people if you don't have relationship. Our country. You know, guys, I'm firmly convinced that we don't understand the value of a soul. I'm firmly convinced we don't. Do you not know the whole universe would go to war for just one of us? Just one. But we're willing to break relationships with people in our church and our country over little issues. I have resolved in my life that if it don't separate us in heaven, I'm not going to let it separate us here on earth. So I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I won't talk to you about issues before I let those things separate me here, because I want to be in relationship with you. I need you. And I want God to be able to use me, and I've got to be in relationship to do those things. I came, as God worked this out inside of me, he looked at me one day, and as I looked, he said, John, you know, you're spending dozens of hours in network news and everything else, starting at 6 o'clock in the evening until you go to bed between 10:30 and 11 at night, and you're spending dozens of minutes in your spirituality, and you want to know why you're mad at everybody. I'm focusing all of my energy on the things that separate us, and I'm not focusing my energy on the things that brings me together. John, reorganize. Yes, God. Some of us have situations that God wants to reset in our lives. God took me out of corporate America. He took me out of corporate America because he wanted more access to my time. I realize that now. I didn't know it then. Some of us need to reset some situations in our lives. I'd be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to my CR brothers and sisters. Some of us have some hurts, habits, and hang-ups that God wants to reset. If anybody in this church understands the reset button, it's CR. We're literally face-planting daily and having the courage to get back up. And we're appreciative of the brothers and sisters who come alongside us and lift us back up and say, brother, I understand. I've been there. Come on, try one more time. Try one more time. Try one more time. If you are supporting a CR member, we want you to know we love you. Thank you. So I'm sitting there, and I'll say this, and I bring this to a close. Sometimes there are relationships that have to be limited or terminated. They're just not productive. I do that sparingly. Sparingly with prayer and meditation and talking to a trusted accountability partner. But sometimes you have to do that. So as I finish up with this conversation with this gentleman in the post office, and he's been translating, and as he's been translating, he's been sticking his head around the corner going, I'm so glad you stopped by. I'm so glad you stopped by. And we stopped. He says, well, it's time for you. I'm done. And he printed off my receipt. My receipt. God, guys, I wake up every morning and I roll over in the bed with my wife and I look to my side and I say, I stop. And I go, she's still breathing. Thank you, God. One more day. It's a lot of people that wake up this morning, Father, that don't have that person that they love and cherish. Thank you, God, I didn't hear the phone ring last night. So that means my children are okay. God, I have a roof over my head. So, Father, since I have those things, that means you woke me up this morning with a purpose. And so I get up each morning wondering, what is it that God wants me to do? So as I got up one morning before this post office trip, 2 weeks before, at a time when it wasn't going real well. And I said, God, what's going on here, God? Why is this not working the way it is? You told me it was. And then I found myself at a post office. Guys, if I can be honest with you, sometimes life sucks. It really does. It's no fun watching brothers die of cancer. There's no fun wrestling with the hurts, habits, and hang-ups you got. It's no fun trying to forgive people who are doing the same thing over and over and over. It's no fun. But for me, I've got to find purpose in this crazy, mixed-up world and the things that I'm going through, or else this is a great, big, old, tremendous joke. So inside of us, we have what the world's looking for if we're willing to be used. And that's what I want you guys to know. Hit the reset button and talk to others. Ask God. I dare anyone to ask God, what do you want me to do? You find yourself at a post office talking around a corner of a glass to someone who's saying, I'm so glad you stopped in. That's the value of a soul. God will take me through all of those changes in my marriage just so that I can have that one conversation with somebody around the glass at a post office. So as I finished up that conversation with the gentleman, believe it or not, he stuck his head around the corner and we prayed right in the middle of a U.S. post office. So, Father God, how marvelous and excellent is your name. Holy, holy, holy are you, my God. Thank you for one more day. So, Father, on the sound of my voice are many, many dealing with many things, Father, pain, sickness, financial problems. Father, open up all the prayers of my brothers and sisters that are under the sound of my voice, Father God, and let them know that you have heard every single word. Give them a fresh touch, Father. And then, Father, my prayer is that you would trouble the waters. Father, if there's a relationship that they need to fix, Father, I pray you would trouble the waters. If there's a situation, Father, I pray you would trouble the waters. Father, and give us all courage to go out and live this marvelous life, relationship with you that we were created to be in. Pray these things in your precious name, Father. Amen.